It's the High Cooking Corner on 101.9 High FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, coming to you live and ready to share some lovely post-Pesach recipes. So, you know those ones, the ones where we'll be recycling, okay, because we maybe bought a little bit too much, maybe we bought some extras, yes, which our husband said we didn't need in the first place, but you know how we panic on Pesach. How was your Pesach? I'm sure you bought too much matzah too. But don't worry, you can freeze it or you can blend it in your food processor and divide it up into little Ziplocs as I do. And I stick them in the freezer as well and I make matzah meal out of it. Or you can just enjoy it for the next couple of months. It's lovely with some salt, butter, salt. Anyway, I have decided that next year, I'm only buying 2 pockets of potatoes, 2 pockets of onions, 6 dozen eggs, or maybe 8. We went through eggs, mince, and potato flour. I have to admit, we survived this Pesach on mincemeat blintzes. Yes, I made them with potato flour for all those gluten-free members of the family. And we survived on mincemeat blintzes, grain and chocolate. It was really a beautiful Pesach. And nobody went hungry. And I just found that, I don't know if it's about, if you found this year. I don't know, maybe it's an age thing. Maybe I've just been collecting for too long. But didn't you find you just had so many extra containers? I don't know, I just seem to have 6 plastic bowls that I didn't need and old plates that I didn't need and roasting plates, serving dishes that I didn't use. Okay, but as I say, let me rephrase that because at my age, in my 50s, I find that cupboards are really getting smaller or they're just overflowing. But I've started finding all sorts of magnificent items in my Pesach cupboards, which I decided, you know what, I'm rather going to use those for 357 days of the year rather than 8. So I had quite a nice clean out, not as a declutterer would say the perfect clean out, but I have to admit I do have 3 generations of Pesach crockery and cutlery from both sides in my cupboard. So I have to call in a person with no emotional attachments to help me clear. I mean, every time my daughter said to me, Ma, do you really need this? I mean, she takes out a yellow plastic strainer. I think it must have been from 1805. And you've got this beautiful strainer here. What do you need this yellow plastic thing for? But how could I get rid of it? I mean, it was Boba's container that she lovingly used to drain her grain. And that teapot up there, I mean, no, I know, we haven't used it for 10 years. But, you know, the brown ochre teacups, yes, they're on the top shelf. We also don't touch those. No, it's just things that we don't use. So, you know, what I realize is we actually buy things. I mean, this is all year round as well. We actually buy things in case because they're the latest things, latest gadget to come in. But then we forget to throw out the old ones. We forget that we don't need that blender that you actually have to hold on the top because we've got another blender, but we're nervous. If we throw that out, what about this? You know, maybe that one will pack up and then what will I use for Pesach? But, and there's all sorts of different items that you can use. This year, I happened to be standing in the queue and I won an onion chopper. Okay, so that was great. But in the end, every time I take the onion chopper out, I've already sort of chunked my onions. But every time I take the chopper out, I've got to rinse it. Then I take the chopper out. Then I try and connect it. And the piece, this must connect into this. And then I have to pull a string and chop it and whatever. Yes, it was a beautiful gift. But by the time I've done that, I could have chopped two onions up. But without sounding unappreciative, I was just taking a look around my kitchen, in fact, last night, and looking at the things that I seldom use. I've got, I mean, there's a tagine. You know what a tagine is? A tagine is a Moroccan dish which is named after the earthenware pot that it's cooked in. So it almost looks like a round thing at the bottom, and then it's got like a teepee coming up in the middle. You know those, I'm sure you've seen them. So, and I decided, you know, I really don't need this tagine. I never ever use it. I'd rather just use my Dutch oven, which is, it's just like a Dutch oven is a thick walled cooking pot with a tight fitting lid, and it's usually made of cast iron. I mean, some make it out of cast aluminium or ceramic, and you can just use that instead. So I'm really looking around, and obviously I will donate some of my stuff to a kitchen. And I found a beautiful frying pan. I don't need a wok. So these are things that do we really need, or are you just storing for a rainy day? So after decluttering, I will get back to you with some nice recipes for anything that we overbought over Pesach. But one thing I want to do is just share something that I did about 2 weeks ago, and a great idea, and I just had to share it. It's got nothing to do with food, but it has got to do with the kitchen if you have your tumble dry in the kitchen. So I have been looking everywhere. I don't know if anybody's seen them, for those paper sheets. You know, I think it's Stay Soft or one of those. They make these paper sheets and then you put them into your tumble dry, and it just gives the most wonderful. They perfumed infused papers. You put them in the tumble dryer, and if it's in your kitchen, oh, your kitchen starts to smell beautiful. Whichever room your tumble dryer is in. And I could not find them for all the love of money in the world. So what I did was I went onto the internet and I looked around and I got a tip. So it says what you must do, go out and buy double or the triple strength comfort or stay soft or any of those fabrics. The ones, the concentrated ones, the ones that you meant to add water to, that's what you buy. And then you get about 5 or 6 face cloths. You can use older face cloths if you've got them, even better. Sometimes we throw out face cloths because they got a little hole in or whatever. We get new ones. You can use those. And make sure that it's a sunny day. That's the most important thing. Then you take a plastic bucket or a large sort of plastic container, and you place a couple of these. You place these cotton, they must be cotton toweling face cloths, into this little bucket and cover them in the, I think it's a 2 liter. Yes, must be a liter or 2 liter. You know, there's comfort bottles. I think it's a liter. And or the Stay Soft. And you add it to the plastic bucket, cover, making sure that the towels are completely covered. And then just ensure that you soak them for about 30 minutes. And just keep mixing so that they absorb all that lovely Stay Soft smell. And then you place them onto a flat surface, which is covered in plastic, in the sun, and you allow them to dry. Okay, it can take a few hours, but it is worth it. And then you just dry them, turn them over every now and again. I didn't hang them on the line because otherwise then all that Stay Soft drips out of it. And then you place them, then when they dry, put one into your tumble dryer, and it lasts for about 20 uses. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then you keep the other face cloths in another plastic container where they dry, of course, and you put the lid on and you keep them beautiful and dry, and it just lasts for ages and costs almost nothing. Well, bottle of Stay Soft. And you can use it for at least 20, 30 loads of washing. Okay, so I will come back with a couple of recipes, post-Pesach recipes, after the break.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Hi, I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, and I'm back giving you a couple of little tips on some, giving you some recipes for some of the excess food that we bought over Pesach. And the first thing I did, I must admit, after Pesach came out and when I was allowed to, I made a lovely health bread. Now, there was no time for rising. Everybody's hungry. Everybody wanted some bread. So this was the answer. Lovely, nutty, wheat, whole wheat bread. And I've been playing with this bread for quite a few weeks because I couldn't get it right. And I think we've got it right finally. So it's 4 cups of nutty wheat flour, 5 mils of bicarbonate of soda. That's 1 teaspoon. 5 mils of baking powder, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, and 1 teaspoon of salt. 2 tablespoons of molasses. Yep, now the molasses gave it the most delicious sort of dark, what can I call it? Molasses-y flavor. It was just a richer kind of flavor that really took the bread to another level. And then I used 500 mils of plain yogurt, full cream yogurt. Yes, I used the Pacifica one, but you can use anyone. You can use the Woolworths one, but it must be a full cream yogurt. It sort of keeps it nice and moist. Then you would need, so 500 mils of plain yogurt is 2 cups. 50 mils of sunflower oil. Of course, you can use, if you've got coconut oil left over, you've got a little bit at the bottom. It's all you really need. It's just a little bit of either sunflower or coconut oil. 1 tablespoon of peanut butter. Now, obviously, if there are allergies, you know, we have to be careful. But I used 1 tablespoon of peanut butter to give it a really lovely, nutty flavor without being too strong and too overpowering with nuts. 1 egg and 1/2 cup of mixed seeds. So you can use sesame, linseed, sunflower seeds, you know, all those kinds of seeds. In fact, I think you can even get a lovely breakfast mixed seed from Woolworths and you can use that. And then what I did was I took out a big bowl. And yes, one of the old ones that I found at the back of the cupboard. And preheated my oven to 170, greased the loaf tin. And I mixed the dry ingredients together. So that was the 4 cups of nutty wheat flour, 1 teaspoon of bicarb, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, and 1 teaspoon of salt. Then I added the molasses, the yogurt, the oil, the peanut butter, combined that with the dried ingredients, mixed it thoroughly, gave it a good stir every now and then, got to really mix it together. It is a wet batter. It is quite a moist, wet batter. It's not one of those batters that you're going to sit and knead and think, oh, there's not enough flour in here, I've got to knead it. No, this is a wet batter. It's a firm batter, as you'll see when you pour it into the loaf tins. And then what you do is just at the end, add some of the half a cup of the seeds and just sprinkle a couple of seeds on top of it and bake it. So you bake that in after you spooned it into the loaf tin for 45 minutes on 170. And then you turn down the heat to 160. So after 45 minutes, we take the bread out of the oven, turn the heat down to 160, and you remove the loaf from the tin. So you actually take the loaf out of the tin, turn it over, and put it back into the oven upside down, turned over. So the bottom gets lovely and crispy as well, and you cook that for another 20 minutes. Okay, and then what you do is you switch off the oven and leave that for another 10 minutes. Now, okay, so that bread came out beautifully. And what was I going to serve on top of it? So, of course, Pesach, lots of eggs. So I made an egg filling on top. Now, very important to remember, it's great to make a wonderful egg salad, but we don't know whether the egg's going to be okay because it's in the shell when we start cooking it. So the best way to check that the eggs are okay is by placing them in cold water. If they sink to the bottom, they're fine, they're fresh, they're good to use. Good to go, as my kids would say. If they float us, don't go near them. If they start floating to the top, don't go near it. Okay, and all you do is you take, about 6 eggs, boil them, and you can boil them for about 9 or 10 minutes. Now, I'm sure most people the people that I've come across like their for egg salad on top of their bread or whatever. They like it to be quite smooth. As my one friend says, don't show me yellow and white. I like it all smooth and I just like it all one color. So boil that for about 10 minutes and then peel them. You may want to use 7 eggs because sometimes you can boil an egg and there can be blood in it. So you've got to get rid of that one because that is not kosher. Then to the 6 eggs, you add, when it's cool, a 1 cup of mayonnaise. Maybe more. You may need more mayonnaise. Okay, I'm just telling you 1 cup to start because there's nothing better than nice, rich mayonnaise sandwich. Okay, then you add 1 teaspoon of ready-made Dijon salt mustard, 1 teaspoon of grated white chrain, horseradish, 1 teaspoon of salt. Eggs love salt. And a dash of pepper. And then you mash it all together with a nice old-fashioned hand masher. You know, those ones that you can really stand and mash till they're almost smooth. Otherwise, just do as some others do and just use a hand blender or you can put it through a sieve if you want to. Some people put it through a sieve so that you don't get that yellow-white contrast. And then some fun things that you can add to your egg salad. If you really enjoy textures, then what you can do is finely chop some celery into it, but really fine celery. You know, you don't want to be eating a beautiful, smooth, lovely egg sandwich and choke on half a piece of celery. So just have it finely chopped. Or what's also lovely, I know my son always does it over Pesach time, is you fry some onions until they're nice, either till they're crispy or until they're caramelized. Chop them up and you add that to the egg salad. Or just go into Fresh Fillers and they've got lovely crunchy onions at the moment in these sort of plastic little tubs. And just at the end before you're going to serve it, add some of this, crunch it with your hands and throw it into the egg salad. And voila, you've got a beautiful egg salad. Now, when I come back, somebody sent me a message to ask me what to do with the loads of chicken soup that she's got left over from Pesach. So I'll come back with a recipe, a little Chinese, a little bok choyish, a little lokshinish. See you after the break.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm coming to you live from the studio. It is our post-Pesach recipe program, the program where we use up all the extra food that our husbands told us we didn't need in the first place. So, as I said earlier on, we were discussing that somebody sent me a message asking me she has loads of clear chicken soup. How does she recycle this? Her family are tired of chicken soup. They cannot look at another canadle. And what can she do? So, we've turned this into a lovely little Chinese chicken soup. Okay, and there's one very important step to follow, and it really, really does make a difference to the chicken soup, and that's with the use of ginger. So everybody thinks, oh, ginger, no, it's very strong and blah, blah, blah. Don't worry. It's delicious done this way. So you can either use a heap of, in fact, I would use coconut oil. It just has a lovely sweet flavor to texture and nice texture to it when melting it. So I took a tablespoon of coconut oil. Yes, I've tried it because I can't give out a recipe that hasn't been tried and tested. So I did this last night, and what we did was I fried the ginger and the coconut oil together with a tablespoon. Okay, so the ginger, what I did was I grated it. A heap tablespoon of finely grated ginger. You want it finely grated. You don't want bits sort of floating of ginger floating around because it, you know, it can be a bit strong for the kids. So finely grate it and then fry it in a heap tablespoon of coconut oil and a teaspoon of honey or sugar. Okay, and then what you do is sort of caramelize the whole lot, and that caramelization and the sugar and the honey with the ginger just makes it explode in the soup. That's the only way I can explain it. So, once you've done that, get your clear chicken soup out, add that little mixture. Okay, you're not going to fry it on high heat because you just want it to caramelize. So on lower, you can start off like medium to high and then turn it down and just keep stirring it as you're cooking it. Of course, you're going to have to cook it in a very small saucepan because what is it? It's just a teaspoon of this and a tablespoon of that. And then once you've done that and it's turned a lovely golden brown, make sure you don't burn it. You just want it to be a lovely golden brown caramelized color. You take that and you put it into the chicken soup. Mix it around. It will melt in the chicken soup. And then you add 2 sticks of lemongrass. Now, lemongrass obviously has to be checked. You have to peel away the sticks of lemongrass, and it's almost like a thinner, smaller version of celery. So we peel the pieces away and put them into the soup as well. That beautiful lemongrass aroma, oh, will really take it to another level. So you add the lemongrass. Now what you can do is what I often do is I bash it over on the wooden board in my room, in my kitchen, and you can even roll over it once you've cleaned it and checked and everything. Roll over with a heavy rolling pin, and then just stick. You'll only need sort of 2 or 3 pieces of lemongrass. Place it. That must be long because it's very hard to chop. It's very difficult to chop it. So you're just going to place it into the soup, and it's also sometimes a bit difficult to eat as well. But don't forget that when you remove it from the soup, and when you serve your soup, remove those sticks of lemongrass. Okay, then you add some lovely bok choy. So bok choy you can get from Woolworths in a packet. I think you get about 4 or 5 of the little bok choy, how can I explain them, like little, I don't know, how would you explain them? they come like packed together, the bok choy, and you obviously check them, and I threw them in whole, okay? So checked each one and threw each piece of the bok choy in whole. Then we put in, let that bubble up a bit so you can get all those lovely flavors out of it, and then I added 2 cans of creamed corn, not the frozen corn, the creamed corn, 2 tins of that, because that has got a little bit of mezina in it, and it just gives a little bit of substance and a little bit of a creaminess to it. And then I added about just under 250 grams of raw lokshen, nice and thin noodles. Added that to the soup, and voila, that was it. And it was as simple as that. I added, I must admit, because our family love fresh coriander. So I did chop up a little bit of fresh coriander. You don't have to. And it was absolutely delicious. Then when I gave out the recipe, I was asked, what about five spice, the Chinese five spice? Yes, you can add a teaspoon of Chinese five spice to that as well. But as I always say, test as you go along. See, you may like the taste without the five spice and see how it goes. So always check as you're going along and don't forget to use a clean spoon every time and wash the spoon afterwards. Never double dip. So now we have fish balls. And I had quite a few fish balls and fish pieces left over and fried fish and whatever. So I decided to make a Malay fish. So we've got the fish already, or if you haven't got fish, then just buy a couple of fried fish balls, some fried fish fingers. You know, you don't want your whole house to start smelling of fish, so just may as well get it ready done. And then make up the sauce as follows. You will need 2 tablespoons of oil, 3 large onions cut in half and sliced, 3/4 cup of brown sugar, brown vinegar, 2 teaspoons of corn flour, which is Maizena, dissolved in 1/2 cup of cold water. Very important that it's cold water because it will not dissolve if it's warm water. 1 tablespoon apricot jam, 2 tablespoons of brown sugar, 1 heaped teaspoon of turmeric, 2 teaspoons of your favorite curry powder, 1 teaspoon of chili flakes, or you can get a lovely fresh chili, and that, chop that up with your gloves on, and put that into the 3 sliced onions if you want to. Otherwise, you can use chili flakes, and 5 bay leaves, salt and pepper. I like to use the crushed black pepper, and then all you do is you cook the onions in the oil. At this point, you can add that 1 fresh chili if you want to, or if you like things hot, take 2 bird's eye, little bird's eye chilies, and you add that to the onions. If not, you can just use some chili flakes. And then you add the rest of the ingredients. So once the onions are lovely and cooked, caramelized, then you add the rest of the ingredients and you bring it to the boil. And then you place your already fried fish into a glass bowl or into a dish and just pour the sauce over the fish. Let it cool a bit. Once you've brought that to the boil, the onions and all the rest of the ingredients, let it cool a little bit before you throw it over the fish. And that is delicious Cape Malay fish. Now, the secret, as I've always said, is the onions. So we go to my daughter-in-law on Friday night on Shabbos for supper. It's Chol HaMoed. No, it was Yontif. Sorry, it was the last night of Yontif. And she made the most delicious lamb that I've ever tasted. So this is how it was made, and why I'm telling you this now is because this is because, as I say to you, it's all in the onion. So this was, she said, "Shaw, it was just so simple. It was just onions, mint, lemon juice, and they followed the Chabad route, so she used sugared water, and I think she grated a little bit of ginger into the sugared water, and all she did was she got some lamb chops. You can use lamb shanks, I suppose, if you want to, and cut them up. And she made it with, I think she used about 3 kilos of lamb chops. And she just added onions, fried the onions first in a little bit of oil. And she fried 10 onions, 10 big onions. Then she must have added, I think she said, so much mint. I would say it was about 3 packets of mint, the juice of 4 lemons, nice big juicy lemons, and about half a cup of the sugared water. Okay, so what you could do is you could dissolve some brown sugar, white sugar into a little bit of water. She added it. She fried the onions first, took those out, fried the chops so they went lovely and brown, added the mint, the lemon juice, the sugared water, and put the lamb back into the roasting pot or her tinfoil container, and she just let everything reduce in the oven without the lid on until everything caramelized. So it was on low for a good few hours, about 2 to 3 hours, and it was absolutely delicious. So that was just a little one with onions. Don't forget, it's the onions that make it. Now, of course, we had a choice. Do I buy a box of pineapples for Pesach? Yes, of course. Of course, we'll use all the pineapples. Or do I just buy 3 big ones? Well, because I had the box, because, you know, bargain hunter, it was cheaper and whatever, I landed up having some left over, as I'm sure some of you did as well. So, of course, I also needed some raisins for a recipe, so I had some raisins left over. So what I did was I used the raisins for my husband's favorite compote, which you all have from the first book, and I decided, okay, so I'm going to make a delicious sweet raisin and pineapple salsa. So after the break, I'm going to come back to you with the, as we say, time to get pickled in the sweet. And I'm going to be sharing a spicy way with you.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Hi, I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, coming to you live, sharing some of our lovely post-Pesach recipes where we're recycling what we have left over and using up all the extras that our husbands and our parents and our children said we didn't need to have, but we thought we would, because who knows, who'll come for supper, who'll come for tea, will we have enough, won't we have enough? And as always, we had leftover. So what are we doing with our leftovers? I'm sharing some recipes with you about some of the leftovers that I had, and hopefully you had some too. But if you didn't, you can still make these. These are really delicious. So as I said, it's time to get pickled in a sweet way and in a spicy way. So I had a couple of boxes of pineapples and some raisins from my compote, and so I decided to make a vanilla ice cream. I gave most of you the chocolate ice cream recipe, and last week I gave it to you. I also made a vanilla one where I didn't put the chocolate in, but I felt it needed something on top. So I took 2 cups of raisins, 2 pineapples, 2 large pineapples, or just 3 small pineapples, a teaspoon of cinnamon, 3/4 of a cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of you can use cornstarch now, but I use potato starch, and 2 cups of water. And then what I did was I grated the pineapple. You could blend it in a food processor, and added to that a teaspoon of cinnamon, 3/4 a cup of sugar, 1 tablespoon of potato starch, dissolved in 2 cups of cold water. Brought that all to the boil, added the raisins, brought that all to the boil as well, and just let it sit until it got cool, and then it would make the most delicious sauce for ice cream. So there you have a simple one if you have any leftover pineapple and raisins. Then, of course, I mean, you could also serve it. I had a couple of frozen bananas, which I turned into ice cream. So I just processed the frozen bananas. I don't know, the internet has been full of frozen banana ideas. So what you do is you take bananas that are not, they must be ripe, okay, otherwise they get a bit powdery. And you slice them up, put them into Ziploc bags, stick them into the freezer. And if you want to have it as a smoothie, take it out and you just process it. Or you can process it and it becomes a lovely ice cream and you can just sit back in the freezer until you're ready to use it and pour this lovely raisin and pineapple sauce over it. You can also do that with pineapples. I mean, it's quite simple. Just freeze the pineapples and you can make beautiful and berries, frozen berry. What do we have in the morning? Those frozen fruits in the blender. Okay, someone will let me know. Now, then what I did was I needed to make a chutney with a difference. I wanted something that could go on chicken and something that could possibly go on fish, some of the fish that I had left over. So what I did was I chopped up two pineapples. Let me tell you what you'll need for this, makes it a lot easier. First, two pineapples chopped, two large Granny Smith apples peeled and chopped. So you can use more or less depending on the size of the apples, but I used large ones. And I'm sure you've got quite a few apples left over from the charoset that you didn't use. And apples are good because it's got pectin and this helps the chutney sort of set when it gets cold. You'd also need 3/4 cup of finely chopped onions, peeled and chopped, and use more. If you like onions, use more. 1 red bird's eye chili, the hot ones. 4-centimeter piece of fresh ginger, grated. Then this is optional. You can put 3/4 cup of raisins in. Some people just don't like raisins. Okay, so you can leave that out. 1/2 cup of brown sugar, 1 cup of brown vinegar. You can use a little bit of fresh coriander if you're coriander lovers. And I couldn't find cloves for Pesach, but somebody told me you could get them, but anyway, can use cloves if you want to, and just a little bit of salt. And you just place chopped pineapple, apples, onions, and the raisins into a saucepan. Place the sugar and vinegar and the little bit of fresh coriander if you want it, and cloves on top, and you just bring it to the boil and you just let it cook for quite a while. So you bring it to the boil and then you reduce the heat to a simmer and then you continue to cook it with the lid lying loosely on top until almost all the moisture has reduced by about 3/4 so that you don't have too much moisture in it. It must be a lovely sort of have the consistency of jam, of chutney. And then keep watching it because sometimes the sweetness of the pineapple may cause it to stick to the bottom of the saucepan. Now, you can also add mango to this. Mango also works well if you have any mango that's left over. Anyway, then set it aside, let it cool, do the taste check, the tongue test taste thing again. And you check that when it's cool because it stays very hot for a long time. Check to see, maybe it needs a little bit more salt. And it was just such a lovely, lovely chutney to have with cold fish or cold chicken. You know, when you have some leftover rotisserie chicken, it was absolutely delicious. Now, of course, I do it every year. Every year I buy cream cheese. And I say, I'm going to make a cheesecake. Or I'm going to do geschmierte matzah. And somehow, I don't know, I just don't do it because we're such big meat eaters. So I had a packet of baby onions because I like to make beef bourguignon for Pesach and some red wine. I'm sure a lot of you have got red wine left over. So I decided to make a salad with these baby onions, red wine, cottage cheese, leftover avo. So this is what I've created. 1 kilo, baby onions, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, and half a bottle of a really nice, good red wine. You'll also need half to a cup. So I would use like a little tub of cottage cheese and 2 avocados. Now, what you do is you pour the boiling water over the onions, because this, you just cover it. Pour boiling water from the kettle over the onions, and this helps to remove the skins. Then what we do is we slice it into as thin onion rings as we can, and we fry them just, you know, lightly in oil for about a minute or two, because remember, they're small, so they'll just need a minute or two of frying, but you've got to stir them as you're cooking them. Okay, then you add the wine and you mix it well, bring it to the boil, and reduce the heat immediately to simmer that for about 10 to 15 minutes. Now, this is really worth it. Okay, because just caramelizing those onions and the red wine reducing and that alcohol cooking out and, you know, just the sweetness of these little baby onions really makes the salad. So I'm going to come back to you after this break and carry on with the recipe.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
One day I'm going to get our promo guy to say Sharon Lurie. So, I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's Wife, coming to you live, and I am sharing some of my Pesach recipes with you, where some of our recipes had to be recycled, like what do we do with an excess amount of chicken soup? And we're also using up all the extras, which our family told us we didn't really need, but we still bought anyway. So I'm sharing with you at the moment a baby onion cottage cheese or cream cheese salad, which is made with red wine and all the things that we didn't use for Pesach or have left over. So as I said to you before, it is 1 kilo of baby onions, 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1/2 bottle of a good red wine, and 1/2 cup cottage cheese or more, or a tub of cottage cheese. You'll see how much you enjoy it, the cottage cheese or, you know, what looks good. 2 avocados. You'll also need some rocket, because we need to place it on a bed of rocket on a platter. And then you'll need some microgreens. Now, why I liked the idea of microgreens this time was because we're using baby onions. So it's sort of quite a babyish kind of salad. If you want to, you could really add some tuna. If you have any leftover tuna, you could add this to the salad. It really is just a lovely, easy to enjoy salad. You can add boiled eggs if you want to, cut up or grated on top. And another nice thing to use, if you didn't use them during Pesach and you bought them, was those imported gluten-free flat crunchy noodles. Now, they're great on salads, so you could use that as well. So, we were talking about pouring the boiling water over the onions just to help it remove the skins. And then to slice them into the onions into thin rings and fry them in oil for about a minute or two, just sort of stirring so that they get nice and soft. And you can let them get a little bit brown on the corners. It does not add to the flavor when you caramelize. And then you add the wine and you mix it well. So you need about 1/2 bottle of good red wine. Now, bring this to the boil. Bring it up to quite high heat and then reduce the heat immediately to simmer it for about 10 to 15 minutes. That's maybe a bit more because, you know, depending on the size of your pot. If your pot is big, there's a greater surface area, then it evaporates more quickly. If it's a smaller pot, then it will take longer for the wine to evaporate. But you want most of the wine to cook out, so you're left with just a little bit of moisture at the bottom of your onions. And it may look like a lot of onions, but believe me, onions reduce down to nothing. So once you've cooked this, you set it aside and you let it cool. It may need a little bit of salt. You'll taste it and see. But what you need to do is place a bed of rocket on a platter. Then you add the cooled onions. It must be cool. And sort of scatter them and spread them out over this lovely bed of rocket. And then you crumble some cottage cheese on top of that. Slice up some avos. And then you put the microgreens on top of this. And just sort of, yeah, I mean, you can make it pyramid style or whatever. And then the dressing for the salad is quite easy. It is half a cup of oil, 1 tablespoon of honey, 2 tablespoons of apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, and 1 teaspoon of Dijon mustard. Right, Pesach's over, so we can use our lovely mustard. And you just mix it all together with a whisk, and just before serving, pour it over the salad. So, and then finally, if you've still got any of those crunchy noodles left over, or if you've got some lovely crispy fried onions from Fresh Fellas, then you can place that on top. Or, it's not Pesach anymore, you can cube up some lovely croutons and put that on top. So now, time is running out. I've got to wrap up. I've been given instructions. Wrap up, Sharon. Oh dear, I was going to share a Russian radish salad with you, but we'll have to keep that for next time because what else did we have here? Oh, the quickest apple pudding ever created. All right, that'll all have to come next week. So, again, I found myself saying, thank you for joining me. Thank you, Craig. I always forget to say thank you to Craig. And I hope your Pesach was a good one, and I hope you didn't get into a flap. And remember, it's the eat and meet that makes this show complete.